In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do this. We are going to do it's a football Friday on a Monday is what it is. You take it down a little bit, Byron. There you go. Perfect. Right there. Here we go, man. Monday Night Football. For the first time in years, the Texans on Monday Night Football. Ooh. Coming off of a nice Sunday on the couch of watching. Boy, I you know what? Seth, I can see you don't get to do this. I don't get to do this very often. I can see the appeal of sitting on the couch and watching football all day Sunday.
I feel physically sore from sitting on the couch.
Really? I feel rejuvenated. I feel
rejuvenated, but I'm not used to reclining for as long as that.
That's true.
And I got a little bit of a crick in my neck.
Yeah.
Especially good like matchups you wanted to see, as you laid out so eloquently on Friday. I mean, you had the Ravens and the Steelers, followed by the Chiefs and the Bills, followed by the Bengals and the Chargers.
Yeah.
Those are all, I didn't have to flip around. I wasn't all that interested in watching the rejuvenated and now professional Anthony Richardson or anything like that.
Nope.
I just wanted to watch those three games, and I got to watch those three games.
It was great. It was a scouting Sunday is what it was if you were a Texan fan, because you could have argued going into that day yesterday. By the way, welcome in, everybody. I hope you had a great weekend. It's Payne and Pendergast. We are with you for the next 4 hours. I know that Monday you've probably gotten into a routine of it's me and Seth from 6 to 8, and then it's John Harris and Mark Vandermeer from 8 to 10 a.m. They are up in Dallas getting ready for the game, so Seth and I are recapturing the magic of 8 to 10 a.m. for a day. Now, it'll be a lot of the stuff they do. You know, we'll have both of them will be on during it. We'll talk to ND Kalu, but we'll be Texans heavy all day long today here on the station. It's Texans.
Big shock.
Texans and Cowboys.
Big programming change.
Texans and Cowboys, by God. So, but it was, we got to, if, going into yesterday, I think you could argue that if the Bengals were to have gotten their act together and beaten the Chargers.
Yeah, which they almost did.
They almost did. They came back in this game. They were down 27-6. They came back to tie it at 27. The Bengals are the most dangerous 4-7 team on the planet.
Right.
But I think you could have argued going into yesterday that those might be the six other playoff teams aside from the Houston Texans. Now, Denver is having a lot to say about that right now. Bo Nix was incredible yesterday, but you had Ravens Steelers in the early game, and that was your classic Ravens Steelers street fight. Came down to a 2-point conversion. First team to 18 won the game. And then you had Bills and Chiefs, and that's by and large what it's been. You know, the Bills are the better team, and they showed that yesterday. Right now they are, at least. I know they don't have the better record, the better team. And then, boy, I haven't gotten to watch these Chargers a whole lot, Seth.
No, I know.
They would play the Texans right now if the playoffs were to begin today. And I don't like this. And I don't like this one bit.
They're doing so many of the things that we've seen Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, when they're teamed up, do before. It's old school football in a lot of ways. They're gonna work the play action. The same things that made J.J. McCarthy a first round pick. Now you've got that same factor, but with Justin Herbert. Who's probably, in all likelihood, a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy will be. It's kind of scary. There's some scary teams in the AFC, Sean. That's the big takeaway from yesterday.
Yeah. The scouting Sunday that you and I had did not. I don't know. Did it scare me about where the Texans are? Look, the Texans need to start winning. The Texans unto themselves, they need to start playing better. I will say this, that, and we'll talk more about this in the 7 o'clock hour, just observations, but I was watching that Steelers-Ravens game, and I'm like, okay, I think the Texans' defense can hang in a game like this.
Oh, no. I think the Texans' defense, all you have to do, the other game that I did care about yesterday was watching the Lions just completely demolish and destroy the Jaguars. Yeah. And it was a reminder. I went back, even though I already knew this, I just wanted to go back and see it with my eyes. The last 8 games that Jared Goff has played, he's been absolutely incredible.
Lights out.
But for one game versus the Texans.
That's right.
The only time he's had a passer rating below 100 was against the Texans, and he was far below 100. The only time he was below 72% passing was against the Texans, and he was 50%.
That's right.
That defense put Goff into a blender the way nobody else has since they played the Bucs early in the season. And that gets exciting, but you need the complementary football part of that. You need the offense to. If the offense simply does their role in that game versus the Lions, it could change a lot of things.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you're just hoping and banking on. Just like you see with the Bills now, you see that Josh Allen, with his full complement of wide receivers, it's a different team than when they played the Texans.
No
question.
You
got Khalil Shakir and Amari Cooper out there. So it doesn't change. It doesn't fix all of the issues with the Texans, but it does make them a better football team to get Nico Collins back.
Yeah, to get Nico. Now, then let's talk about that, because we got we haven't had a chance to dig into the injury report. The final injury report came out on Saturday, because the Texans practiced on Saturday, traveled yesterday to Arlington. Of course, they play tonight. 7:15 kickoff. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have Texans Countdown at 4:15. Out for the game tonight will be Will Anderson, Foley Fatakasi, and this Blake Fisher concussion is going to keep him out. Now, what's interesting, two things, is that, yes, Nico Collins, not only is he going to play, he's off the injury report. He's good to go. Like, he's not limited with a hamstring. He's not listed as questionable. Nico Collins is good to go. That should get you very, very excited, Texan fans. That's number one. Number two, Kamari Lassiter did practice on Saturday
with the concussion.
Now, I will remind people, Henry Toa also practiced the last day. He was first in concussion protocol, then did not play in the game. I forget what game it was, but we have recently seen a player in concussion protocol come back to practice and then not play in the game. So that will be a huge thing to watch. And Jeff Okuda, questionable with a quad. He may make his first appearance as a Texan. So even just getting one of those two guys back, you've got what you feel, at least talent-wise, is a frontline corner there opposite Derek Stingley. But getting Lassiter back would be huge.
Yeah, getting Lassiter back would be huge. But without Lassiter or Okuda, then you start to get put in a bind a little bit. And we saw without Kamari Lassiter in the fourth quarter last week, the Texans weren't the same team versus the Lions. So, yeah, I don't think, like, I'm not expecting Okuda to be as good as Lassiter, but he's a viable cornerback.
Yeah.
And that's big for tonight. If you get both of them back, then it gives you a whole lot of versatility. The Texans really haven't had all season long, because you haven't had Okuda. Assuming Okuda, you know, Okuda's been a disappointment per his draft status as a top five pick, but he can still go out there and play, man.
He can still be a functional cornerback.
No question.
Now, I'm going to ask you something that they asked me on the Morning Bull this morning. They had me come in and do a quick little interview about this game tonight. Okay, so they asked me the very basic question, like, what happens if the Texans win tonight? And I feel like, obviously, they hold serve against the Colts and they keep their two-game lead. I almost feel like the Texans have to, they've got to take the Cowboys out back Old Yeller style tonight. You know what I mean?
Like this. Yeah, oh, yeah, this, yeah. This put them out of their misery.
This is a chance to put them out of their misery. This is a chance to create the caption tomorrow on Get Up, should Mike McCarthy be fired? All of those things. Like, if they win, they win, and it's great, and they're 7-4 on the season with two pretty easy games coming up, two very, very, very winnable games coming up. But I almost feel like for the sanity and to get people back where they were, you know, when the Texans were 4-1, or coming into the season, you know, they've lost 3 out of 4, so some of the starch has been taken out of this season a little bit. Destroying the Cowboys tonight, not just winning, but destroying the Cowboys tonight could be a very feel-good thing for tomorrow.
I think also, you know, if you're you're on the bull, and I'm guessing they didn't want your Morgan Wallen takes or anything like that. The other real basic answer to that, I guess, would be, all right, yeah, where does this put them? If they win tonight, aside from all of the projection and emotional import and all that, it turns them into a 7-win football team. And you're up there with the, you know, you're tied with the Ravens in terms of your current record. Yeah, behind those other teams that we talked about earlier this segment. So it's in terms of just keeping in that, the bulk of that playoff race and potentially home field advantage at some point, either in the wild card or what. Well, the wild card is going to be division standings.
No, but your point is valid, and that's where I know where you're going with that. Like, even getting the 2 seed and guaranteeing a home game in the divisional round would be great. And from that standpoint, yesterday actually played out not great. It would have been better if the Ravens had beaten the Steelers. Now the Steelers have 3 losses. It would have been better if the Chiefs had beaten the Bills. Now the Bills have 3 losses. You kind of concede that you're not going to catch the Chiefs for the 1 seed, but it keeps you within a game of everybody for the 2 seed. So that could have worked out better for the Texans yesterday. But for right now, Texans just need to win a football game right now.
There's not a look at those teams we talked about. Which one of those teams you want to go up and play up north in January?
Yeah.
Is it Kansas City?
Yeah, no.
Is it Buffalo?
None of them, man. Yeah.
Is it Baltimore?
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, screw those plays. Pittsburgh.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Screw them all. No, get a home game.
Yeah.
You're probably, it's very unlikely that you're going to get home field advantage throughout, but my goodness. And I'm glad you know what, honestly, I feel like Josh Allen has been maligned unfairly for not being able to beat the Chiefs when he's had winning performances in those games.
He's walked off the field late in the game with leads.
Yeah. So it was good to see him just and do it in a way that Pat Mahomes wouldn't be able to do. By not throwing a boatload of interceptions like Pat Mahomes has done so far this year, and then by running, you know, like on runs. Yes, Pat Mahomes can run, but not like Josh Allen.
Well, no, and he's the favorite right now for MVP of the league. That was one of those plays when somebody's vying for the Heisman, and I'm talking about the 4th and 2 touchdown to kind of seal the deal for that game. 4th and 2 in Chiefs territory, they're at like the 25-yard line. They go for it on 4th and 2, and Josh Allen runs it in from 25. He breaks 2 tackles at the goal line. Like he was awesome yesterday. He was fantastic.
I'll tell you the other thing. I'll say one thing I'm prematurely grateful for ahead of Thanksgiving.
What's that?
Early season Kaimi Fairbairn. Because I'm watching these games yesterday be decided by a field goal.
Oof.
You know, the Ravens, for instance. Okay, are the Ravens worse than the Steelers? I don't know. If it weren't for Tucker.
Missing 2 in the first half.
Missing 2 field goals.
Easy ones.
Who knows? But I think that you look at the Bengals. The Bengals miss a field goal.
Yep.
And you look at those two teams right now. The Bengals have a +2 scoring differential. The Texans are -1 on the season.
Yeah.
They have played like 500 football teams.
Yeah.
But the Texans happened. You know, they got that early cushion with those early victories, largely because of Kaimi Fairbairn. And now, in the second half of the season is a whole different story. You get to define yourself now.
Yep, no doubt. All right, up next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
We'll do the six-pack. We'll get you six storylines ready for the game tonight. Between the Texans and the Cowboys. Monday Night Football, man. Good to have it back. And it's right here on Sports Radio 610. So we'll talk about that. We'll break down the game for you. Coming up next, Sean Prendergast, Seth Payne with you. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. You get the full 4 hours today. So we're excited about that. 713-572-4610. That's the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. I'm fired up. People on the text page are fired up about this game. It's Texans-Cowboys tonight. The Texans are the superior team. They are still a 7.5-point favorite, last I checked. Let's go. Let's go. Now, around the country, before we get into the six-pack, around the country, they're not feeling similarly about this game. There was heavy promotion of this game going on ABC, on college football, throughout the day on Saturday. I watched all three of those SEC games back-to-back-to-back. There's a lot of heavy promotion going on. I don't think Kirk Herbstreit is as excited about this game as we are here in Houston.
Monday Night Football will feature Lone Star State game between the Texans and the Cowboys. What do you think is going great in Dallas?
Just keep putting Dallas in those high-profile windows. They just keep losing games. That is a train wreck.
And a train wreck. And they keep talking.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Great body language if you watch a play.
Other than that, what's your opinion on the Cowboys?
It's awful.
Kirk obviously didn't get the memo about promoting things on the network.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he's promoting it in that he's inviting you to watch the house fire.
The Cowboys get their ass kicked. Yeah, no, that's true. Good point.
What they did for entertainment back in the day,
back
Sean.
Back in the day,
they'd be like, "Oh, Lassie, there's a house fire down in the village. Let's go watch and see."
Yes, get me some ale.
Conceive a child.
Fire.
They didn't have a lot of recreational sex.
They did not know.
It was just pretty much like, there's another another farmhand popping out.
Very utilitarian.
So let's go watch this house fire. That's what the Texans, or the nation at large, would love to watch the Texans just set a torch to the Cowboys' rickety, dried out, dilapidated house.
I think you're
right. Just burn it down.
Yep.
Burn it down and let everybody burn inside.
Yep.
Okay.
And everybody get out their mug of ale and stand and watch like it's the 1700s all over again. Yes.
Turn that stupid stadium into a crematorium.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. That's the pep
ashes
talk.
And dust.
That's
the only thing that's going to survive it is Jerry Jones, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. All right, let's get to this. The storylines and the main players involved in this game, it's six-pack style. We'll do it. Number one, they got to heat up Cooper Rush. They got to put pressure on
Kill him.
This is going to be what's going to allow the Texans to, when they, this is going to be their staple, Seth. This is what kept the game. I know they didn't sack Jared Goff, but the pressure they were putting on him is what led to that 15 out of 30 that Jared Goff had. When this team is playing its best defense this year, it's going to heat on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's no Will Anderson tonight, but you've got Danielle Hunter, you've got Danico Autry, you've got a frisky front seven here. We know that D'Amico's not scared to dial up blitzes. I think other than CeeDee Lamb, this is a wide receiving core that you can probably feel pretty good about sending extra guys against. It's not a it is not a fearsome group of skilled players other than Lamb at all. So you got to get heat on Cooper Rush, who is 5-2 as a starting quarterback. He was abysmal in their last game, but he is 5-2. He is someone who attention needs to be paid to, at least.
He is attention has to be paid to. Now, when he went the one season when he went 4-1, right? That was it was a different Cowboys team.
It was a better
Cowboys team. Yes. This is not that team. That was probably back when Ezekiel Elliott was still a good running back.
Might have been,
but he's not anymore. He's not even their main running back. So he is, but he shouldn't be. So, my biggest concern really is that Cooper Rush last week got rid of the ball really quickly while he was in the game. And they're gonna try to dice you up with a bunch of easy stuff underneath. You just got to be disciplined and sound and not let those short passing plays turn into explosives.
Yeah,
so
right.
Discipline is the word of the day today defensively.
Yep. Number two, they got to smother CeeDee Lamb, whatever that is. He is the... You know, we always talk about the Belichick strategy. Take away whatever it is you do best. He is what they do best. CeeDee Lamb is the one guy on offense for the Cowboys that can wreck the game for you if you're a Texan fan. Here's D'Amico Ryans last week on the challenges CeeDee Lamb presents.
Yeah, CeeDee, man, so explosive. Starting with just him in the slot, like his ability to just run after catch. Is just, he's an exceptional player, right? He can align everywhere on the field. Like, he aligns outside. He can take the shot outside, the go balls, but he also gets inside. They move him around a lot. The coaching staff does a really nice job of just putting him in a lot of different spots where you have to have great eyes for where he is at all times because he is their top playmaker, and he's proven. Even when eyes are on him, he can still make plays. So it's a big task for us, stopping CD, but it's going to take everybody. It's not going to be about one person stopping him. It's going to take everybody on the defense.
And I think that's the biggest thing I worry about with CD Lamb. Look, he's only had one game this year where he's had more than 100 receiving yards. He's got the lowest yards per catch in his career right now. And yet he is still an explosive threat.
Oh, yeah.
So as you're looking at Cooper Rush, and if they have a steady diet of super efficient, quick passing type stuff, don't get lulled into this hyper-aggressive state where you're coming up attacking and everything and give CeeDee Lamb a chance to break one on you.
That's right.
So that's like – and I don't think – I'm not worried that the Texans are going to be sleeping on that. I mean, it's the one thing about losing three of your last four games. There's no danger of a trap game based on the expectations, I think, here. You look across, you see it's CeeDee Lamb. You're in Dallas. It's Monday night. Just don't lose track of CeeDee Lamb, please.
Well, yeah, and the Colts won yesterday. I mean, these guys all have phones. They know that the Colts won, and you've got a one-game lead. Just the optics of a one-game lead right now would make me nervous if the Texans walk out of this thing 6-5, and the Colts are 5-6. So yeah, you got to smother CeeDee Lamb, and then there's one other guy that can wreck this game for you, and it's can number three here in the six pack, and that's Micah Parsons. You got to find wherever he's at. Here's CJ Stroud. What do you see on film from your buddy Micah Parsons?
Man, he's relentless. Like, he's what, like, I see in, like, Will and, like, those guys. I'm like, when I'm watching on the sideline, I'm like, man, I'm glad I ain't on the other team. Like, he's that guy where you'd be like, okay, like, we got to do something for this dude. So, yeah, he's definitely talented, and, you know, I think he has a motor where he won't stop. And, you know, he's like that in everything he does, like eating food to playing basketball to video games. Like, he has a motor, and, you know, that's, and I love it. Like, something that, you know, a lot of great people I've been around, from artists to players to different sports, anything that I've been around has been great. That's how they are in everything. Like, they don't want to lose, and that's motivated me to be better. Any little thing that I do, if that's tying my shoe, if that's, you know, playing basketball, like, I'm doing it to win, and I'm doing it for the Lord, you know. So I should probably flip those. I'm doing it for the Lord, and I'm doing it to win. So, yeah, appreciate it, y'all. Oh, one more, sorry.
It's a good catch there.
Yeah. The Lord is like,
I got you. I was a little bit confused at the beginning. I've listened to that a few times now, where he says, glad I'm not going against him. I'm like, well, but you are.
You are.
You said watch him from the sideline. So I don't know if they're like watching highlights while they're on the field or something. Yeah, you are going against that guy. And you haven't had an offensive line that's the best at protecting you from guys like that. This is what I worry about with Micah Parsons. I'm not worried about him versus Laremy Tunsil. Laremy's kind of handled Micah Parsons. Their games match up to each other pretty well because Laremy's extremely athletic and Micah's more of a threat of an athlete than a power guy. So Tunsil does well against him. I'd feel good enough about Titus in pass protection. What I worry about is how Micah got his two sacks last week, which was on games slanting down inside and rushing against guards, rushing against centers. That's where the Texans have had issues, and that's where Micah Parsons has thrived. So it remains, the interior three offensive line, those are the guys we're watching. I thought they made some progress last week in pass protection, not so in the run game, but in pass protection. That's the big one tonight. Those guys, when Micah Parsons decides to come inside.
Yep, agreed. Number four, sevens, not threes. If you get in the red zone, you got to score seven. And it's not because the Cowboys are this big threat where, you know, if we don't get seven here, we know Cooper Rush is going to come back and get seven. It's not because of that. It's because this is a horrible red zone defense. Like, this is one of those defenses that, like, if you're not scoring touchdowns against this red zone defense, who are you going to score touchdowns? They are the worst. They're the worst in the league at allowing touchdowns converted in the red zone. They allow the 31st best passer rating, or 31st worst, however. They're the second worst team when it comes to passer rating in the red zone, the Cowboys are. This is a horrible, horrible defense. Horrible.
They're really bad.
They're in the bottom five in almost everything right now.
Whatever your issues are running the ball, they're allowing 150-plus yards per game against the run. I'm not sitting here acting like, oh, yeah, the Texans are definitely going to win, because it is the NFL.
Yes.
I never predict any team's definitely going to win on any given Sunday, but it would be an extreme disappointment, disillusionment, collapse if you don't win this game. After losing three of four and playing on national television now tonight, it would be really, really bad if they lose this game.
Yes.
This would be, you deserve every bit of criticism that will be heaped upon you.
No doubt.
Especially as America is waiting for you to burn their house down.
That's right.
Don't let down America.
Don't let down America. Get out the torch and burn this house. So that's number four. Number five. This is going to sound weird because this is a team, the Texans, that have had horrible, horrible struggles in the second half of games. So you would think I would say, hey, get a touchdown in the second half. And that kind of goes without saying. We need to see them start to score. I think getting up early in this game is a big key. You know, I think one of the reasons why I think they lost that Jets game a couple weeks ago is they had a chance to smother the Jets. They literally had the Jets fans chanting, sell the team at halftime. But they didn't build a big enough lead in the first half to where the Texans could overcome just how poor they play in the second half of these games. This is a crowd and a fan base that is ready to turn on this team if they've not already. I'm talking about the Cowboys. And so get up early on this team. Squash their will to live. Do not make this game close if it doesn't need to be, okay?
Right.
The Texans have a horrible habit of doing that. Get up early, steal their will to live, run the ball down their throats, and go win this thing by multiple scores. It is ripe to do this right now.
I know, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, but I need a second half performance. I'm almost in a spot, as irrational and unreasonable as this might be. If the Texans are up 28-0 at the half and they don't score a touchdown in the second half, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be angry at 11 p.m. on a weeknight because the Texans win 28-0.
Yeah.
I'll genuinely be angry about it because I'll know that, okay, you still haven't fixed this. What the hell is going on?
Right.
I know Bobby Sloak says it's all mental. Like, all right, you've got a brain too. So, yeah, let's... That's actually what you're being paid for is your brain
your
and nothing
brain.
Else.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
If it's all mental, let's get it figured out.
Nobody signed you here for your routes, Bobby, okay? We signed you for your brain. my prediction on the game... I got Texans 26-15. I've got the Texans covering, and they go under. I believe the total in this game is a pretty low total. I think it's like 42.
This is weird because usually we do this when we're in a four-hour show, and I don't give my prediction until the end. But now we've got a two-hour show followed by our own two-hour show, but we're filling in.
You just confused the hell out of the audience.
Should I do this at the... Okay, so we're going to be here. It's Monday, so usually John and Mark are on from 8 to 10.
We're taking over those 2 hours today.
Sean and I are doing that two hours, so I'll do my prediction at the very end of our four-hour show today.
Yeah, do that. We'll do it in the 9:40 segment there. We'll keep that normal.
It always feels different when I'm doing some Texans radio, though, even though it's still us and we're doing our show.
Yeah, don't think of it that way. That's
I feel like I'm sleeping with my. Well, never mind. I almost made an analogy that's not appropriate for this
6:34.
Moment.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm hanging out with my best friend's wife. Yeah, you know, I can have a conversation with her, but it just doesn't. You know, it doesn't feel like can I talk about this?
Don't make that analogy. Now save it for the.
Can I talk about her there?
Yeah.
Does she want to talk about this like that? Up on a standing up.
Save.
Sitting down?
Save it for the 9 o'clock hour when we're on Texans radio. Yeah.
Turn away from me while I talk to you. Let's try that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've practically given out the analogy.
We're just having a conversation.
All right. Let's get to headlines. We got an injury report for the Texans. Big results from yesterday's game that impact the Texans in the standings. Hey, the Rockets, we got an actual good basketball team here, too. We'll get to that as well. We'll do that all in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. Let's start with the injury report for tonight's game. Texans and Cowboys, you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Kickoff 7:15, Monday Night Football, 4:15 Texans countdown. You got me and Seth leading you into the game here on Sports Radio 610. Texans will be without Will Anderson, Foley Fatakasi, and Blake Fisher. All three of them listed as out with various injuries. The big one there is Will Anderson. No real update on where he's at with this ankle. Obviously, a couple division games coming up that are supremely important for the Texans after this Cowboys game. So we'll see, but no Will Anderson tonight against the Cowboys. Probably the two biggest news items on the injury report, Nico Collins is full go. He is healthy. He's not listed as questionable. He is off the injury report, as is Damian Pierce, Derek Stingley, and CJ Stroud. They were all on the injury report earlier this week, or I should say late last week. They are not anymore. Kamari Lassiter, Seth, did practice on Saturday. He's at the late stages of getting through the concussion protocol. Because he practiced on Saturday, does not make it even close to a lock that he plays tonight. But it does mean there's a chance he could play tonight, and that would be a big, big development for the Texans defensively in this game.
That would be very, very nice. And we saw they were a different team last week in the fourth quarter, in the second half, when they didn't have Kamari Lassiter. The other side of it, too, just CeeDee Lamb showed up on the injury report on Saturday out of nowhere. So that's something to monitor. He has not been the factor that he typically is this year. Nobody has been for the Cowboys. But without... If they didn't have CeeDee Lamb, oh my goodness.
Yeah, nothing.
That's just, it's gonna, it's again, look, any game in the NFL is, there's always, either side can win, but my goodness, that is a bad team already. And then if they don't have CeeDee Lamb or if CeeDee Lamb's limited, that's gonna be really, really rough for the Cowboys.
Yeah, this is a Cowboys team that's ready to get their butts kicked tonight. The Texans need to go follow through and do that for America. They need to do that.
Yeah. The other one, too, Blake Fisher is a low key one to get alarmed about if. Laremy Tunsil, he's had injury issues in a lot of games this year. You know, it feels like there's been at least four games where he's missed time within the game, where he's been out for a series or so it's not like Blake Fisher is a guy that just is break glass in case of emergency. Seen him have to be used this year.
He's had to play. I guess it would be Nick Broeker. I have to go look at the roster and see, look at the depth chart, but I'm guessing
they've got all these guys on the practice squad right now, too, that they might call up.
They may elevate a lineman for this game. You're right. That's a good call.
Nick alluded to that in his interview on the GM show last week. It's just that, hey, the offensive line, even if they're healthy on the interior, that might still change up a little bit.
Yep.
They're still in mix and match mode right now.
Good. They should be.
Yeah.
So that's your injury report. Again, 7:15 kickoff tonight for Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, around the NFL yesterday, the Colts won. They beat the Jets on a late Anthony Richardson rushing touchdown. Had easily, Seth, I'm guessing, without going back and looking at his game log, that had to be his best game as a pro. It greatly disappointed you because he was 20 of 30 throwing the ball yesterday. Yes, he was.
Oh.
He's not only above 50%, he was well above 50%. 20 of 30, 272 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. What are we to make of Anthony Richardson getting benched for 2 weeks and then us being told how much mature he's gotten in those 2 weeks and then playing a game that actually he where he looked like a mature quarterback.
Shane Steichen is really good at scheming up a game plan for a quarterback that's going to work for him. That tends to fade with time. So, you know, there's the initial, like, oh, look at what we got for you. And then teams realize, like, oh, this is what they got for us. So he is still at, he's at 48.5% completion percentage on the season.
Still tracking it. I love it.
He does have a 4-3 record. I mean, we do have to give him credit for being a winning quarterback. And he's got a 48, he's pushing. He's pushing to get up above 50% on the season.
I'd love to be able to just say, well, it's the Jets. I mean, they beat the Jets, but...
Right.
2 weeks ago.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
I mean, it's the Jets. It's just basically openly in rebellion about the fact that Robert Saleh was fired. Their defense. I mean, they're just openly. I mean, it is. It's the Jets. Only the Jets could screw up being bad even worse than they did, in that they fired a head coach who wasn't responsible for Aaron Rodgers or Nathaniel Hackett or any of that fiasco. And yet the one thing that he was totally responsible for was still, when Robert Saleh was still there, still a very good Jets defense.
Yes.
And it's fallen off a cliff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. As far as other games around the AFC go yesterday, the Steelers beat the Ravens. Steelers now have a fairly commanding lead in the AFC North. So the Ravens right now, the season ended today, the Ravens would be the sixth seed. In the AFC, the Bills beat the Chiefs. That's the battle of the top two teams in the AFC. They beat the Chiefs in Buffalo. We've seen this movie before. They've beaten the Chiefs in the regular season. I give Josh Allen a lot of credit. He was not basking in the glory of this win afterwards yesterday when he was the best player on the field. He was not basking in this. He's like, yeah, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, yeah.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're probably going to see these guys again. That's the game we need to beat them, you know.
So. Maybe if our kicker can handle the weather. Was nice last night.
Yeah.
No issues out of Bass last night.
Nope.
I don't think anybody in Buffalo feels good about him, though.
No.
I get nervous for the kid.
Oh, those Buffalo Bills fans are crazy, man. Like, they'll flaming tables and everything.
So, I feel like this is one time I really wanted Deion Sanders to be the coach of the Steelers. Because I feel like after yet another Russell Wilson deep strike to George Pickens, that Deion Sanders would be in the press conference saying, "Do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe?"
Mm-hmm.
Demanding fealty and loyalty from the writers who are in there.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that Russell Wilson is the chosen one?
Look good, man. I mean, he's
they got a nice little Justin Fields package in there too.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't look good in the red zone. They kicked six field goals, but he, you know, Steelers did what they're going to do in that game, man. Like they forced turnovers. They don't have turnovers handed to them. That interception that Peyton Wilson had. Deep down, that deep shot down the sideline, the interception that he had. They forced a fumble on the very first drive with Derrick Henry. They forced another fumble later. Patrick Queen did. I forget who fumbled it for the Ravens. But, man, that is a tough team, man. And you're going to probably have to go through Pittsburgh if you want to get to a Super Bowl.
I mean, they're a tough team, but also, like, Justin Tucker was awful. Justin Tucker lost the Ravens that game. I mean, you know, butterfly effect and all that. Who knows how it would have played out in the second half. But if you make it just the simple two very makeable field goals that he missed, that's the margin right there.
Yeah, it's a different game for sure. Rockets beat the Bulls last night 143-107. They've now won five in a row. They've won 9 out of 11. They're 10-4. And in sole possession of third place in the Western Conference, and they're 10-4 off of a 1-2 start. So I mean, they're a good basketball team, man. Alperen Şengün, back to back triple doubles over the weekend. Triple double against the Clippers on Friday. Triple double again last night in basically like 20 minutes against the 24 minutes he played, something like that. He was done by middle of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Only the second player in league history under the age of 22 to put together back-to-back triple doubles. Nikola Jokic is the only other one to do that.
I mean, and I'll tell you what, the other thing too, just in a nod of respect and credibility to where they are right now. It's early in the season, yada, yada, yada. I mean, they're the third seed in a conference where the 11th seed has a 7-7 record. You know,
It's a good conference.
I mean, and that's the Clippers. The Clippers, the 11 seed right now.
They're a
500 basketball team with two of those losses coming via the Rockets. This is impressive, and it's impossible not to get excited about the fact that, yeah, they're still young as hell.
Right.
A lot of their future are nominally backups right now.
I think that. I think that the biggest reason is the defense. I think that's, to me, is the biggest reason to get excited, is that I saw a graphic somebody put up yesterday, Seth, of the progression, like the four big defensive metrics, efficiency, field goal percentage, actual scoring points, as you like to point out, all those things under the last season of Steven Silas. A lot of these guys, a lot of the same young players, 30th, 28th, 29th out of 30 teams. They're in the top five in everything now defensively. They're the opposite of the Dallas Cowboys in football, who are in the bottom five of everything defensively. The Rockets are in the top five defensively in everything right now. That's what makes me most excited, because that's something that tends to maintain consistency is defense. It's effort, And so that's Ime Udoka, man, paying big dividends. All right, those are your headlines, getting you up to speed on everything that went on over the weekend. The Texans can put an end to a lot of the outside noise tonight. Are they hearing the outside noise? DeMeco Ryans was asked about this in his Thursday press conference last week. Seth put up another interesting poll this weekend, too, that plays into watching football over the weekend and looking at all these other AFC teams. I was watching it through a Texans prism this weekend as I was sitting on the sofa. We'll get to all of that coming up.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Big opportunity for the Texans here tonight. Big opportunity for the Texans. We'll get to that. We'll get to Acknowledge Me at 7:20-ish, thereabout, a little later on. It is a Monday. It feels weird because it's a game day, but it's a Monday. This is something that hopefully, Seth, with the Texans' newfound relevance once again, we're going to have to deal with maybe one or two times a season, coming in on a Monday and going, oh, yeah, that's right, it's game day today on a Monday.
This year the Texans play at a Beyonce concert, which is...
We didn't even mention that.
It's pretty crazy. Like, that's where they've reached the point to where they're getting scheduled to play in the middle of a Beyonce concert.
That should have been in headlines. That should have been in headlines. Yeah, for those just waking up, because that news came down... like during the game last night, right? Like that was something that people might not have seen. Halftime of the Texans' Christmas Day game against the Ravens, Beyonce is playing.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately wondering, I haven't looked this up yet, I'm legitimately wondering, that has to impact the cost of tickets on the secondary market for that game, right? That you're getting like...
I don't know. Yeah, you think people are going...
That you're getting one-fifth of a Beyonce concert at halftime? Hell yes!
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yes.
That actually, especially for people that might have been on the fence about, like, okay, is it a you know, it's a family holiday. I don't want to go to bed. All of a sudden, your teenage or preteen girls or whatever.
This ain't nothing. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like that's actually, no, I think that might flip it completely into being something you got to make a decision about. To like, oh yeah, there's a great family thing to do because everybody, even my wife or my family members that might not be football fans might love Beyonce.
This is, as you and I are talking this thing through, this is a really good thing for the Texans that this Beyonce, that this Beyonce halftime performance is happening. And I don't know how well the Ravens travel. I know that they are considered one of the great cultures in the NFL. They're one of the best teams over the last 20 years. We've not played a home game against the Ravens that's had an audience in a long, long time. The last time the Texans played the Ravens here was during the COVID season. And I don't even know, I can't remember if that was a 20% fan game or a no fan game. I can't remember what it was.
That was early in the season, hardly anybody there.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien was still the head coach. Yeah, I mean, like, best case, it's 20% or 25%.
It wasn't even that.
Yeah.
So, I remember because when the fans were allowed back in, you and I weren't actually doing the show from the stadium anymore. But we were for the Ravens
game. We were there for the Ravens game. I remember being up high for the Ravens game, yeah. So they haven't played the Ravens here in a while. I don't know. If you want to text in, Seth, if you know, how well do the Ravens travel? Because this Beyonce thing might be what keeps Ravens fans out of the building. Texan fans going, like you just said, I'm on the fence. It's Christmas Day. I know it's the Ravens. We're good. They're good. This could decide some things. You know,
crowd with their air guns and everything. Yeah.
I think this is something that probably ensures that we've got largely a Texans crowd in the building for that game, I would
think. Yeah, especially because it's Christmas. Although, let's see, the holidays last year, did they play the Browns the day after Cleveland?
Christmas Eve.
Day before Christmas. Yeah, and there weren't that many Browns fans there, I don't think, were there?
I don't remember.
Relative to normal outputs?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think so. We'll see. Yeah, the fact that it's Christmas might be what keeps Ravens fans out of the building. So, yeah, Beyonce playing at halftime of that game. Make a note. Texans right now, outside noise. If D'Amico Ryan's getting asked about it, that means it exists. D'Amico, on the outside noise.
When it comes to the outside noise on decision making and play calling, all those things, that's the NFL, right? We'll always get that. I don't listen to it. I don't have time to spend on everybody's opinion on how we're running our team and what we're calling and what we're doing, right? As a NFL coach, you make decisions and you stick by the decisions that you make. And everybody, of course, being an NFL head coach, probably one of the only jobs where everybody critiques you on Monday, right? That's the only job. And besides the NFL head coach and the president, you probably get critiqued on every decision that you make because everybody else has all the answers right after the fact. But nobody has the answers in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment. We can all hit rewind as many times. We can slow it down as much as we want to, but that's why I'm here to make the decisions, and that's how it'll be.
It's getting a little crusty. I feel like D'Amico's gotten, it's not combative by any stretch of the imagination, but compared to normal D'Amico, I feel like he's gotten a little more, I don't want to say testy, but kind of like almost defiant or stubborn about some of his answers.
Yeah.
And like, and not in a way that's unfair or anything. It's just different than what we've seen out of D'Amico.
I think it's telling that his longest answer of the press conference, or close to his longest answer, was that one. He's talking about the outside noise. And I don't think it's bothering him to the degree that it's affecting his ability to do his job. I do think that does happen with some head coaches, but he's hearing it. There's no question he's hearing it.
Well, this is the thing, though, too, that happens. This is what you have to remember, because nothing that he said was untrue at all. It was all completely true. Sometimes it's not the actual noise itself. It's the constant questions from reporters about how do you handle the noise that gets annoying, because you're like, I'm going to give you the same answer I've given all the time.
Yep.
Like, what do you expect me to do? Oh yeah, I was curled up in bed all morning. I couldn't handle what DJ Bieniemy had written about me on ESPN.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it does, some of it, the coverage of the coverage starts to get tiresome at times as a coach. coach. Yeah,
I could see that. I could see
like
that.
How many times is that? And then the other thing comes in too is I think D'Amico does probably try to keep a pretty steady information diet. He doesn't need to know all the stuff that's being written and everything. You got to know about whether things are factually wrong so you can clear it up with people. But I think that it's just they've lost three or four games, you know. And when people keep talking, when people ask you like about all the negativity in your mind. It's like if you came up to me and said, "Wow, Seth, they're really talking a lot of trash about you over in the room next door," you'd be like, "Oh, really? All right. Well, and I might lash out at the people in the room next door without even knowing what they were talking about,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
because they're all stupid anyway.
That's right.
People are kind of poor hygiene.
Yep, all of you in the room next door. Not you, Byron. Byron's in the room next door to us right now. He's not talking about you.
No, I was thinking about the bull.
Yeah, yeah."
But I'm kind of scared of Mo, so I won't say anything.
Yeah, we won't tell her. So I say all this. I play the outside noise clip from D'Amico to say that if you want to stop getting outside noise questions, then you need to stop the actual outside noise from happening. And I would say that blowing out the Cowboys would be a big step in the right direction tonight. That's one way to extinguish some of the outside noise right now with this team. If they win a close game, how do you think people are feeling about this? You think is this a game where we get choosy about how they win afterwards?
I think the acceptable close game loss would be
a close game win.
The acceptable close game win, it wouldn't feel awesome, but if it were actually a high scoring affair,
there you go.
Because I think for the most part, you've seen the upside of the defense.
Yeah.
I think they still need to clean up a few things, and yet if they had the offense playing well on the other side, a lot of those wouldn't look as scary as they are. So I think if they lost a higher scoring game than expected, but the offense was good throughout, you'd feel like, okay, all right, now they just got to get both sides operating.
Hold on. You just had them losing.
I said
again.
One. I meant one.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
if you can't have me do thought exercises at 7:09 in the morning.
It's a radio show.
Sean, I don't come to work until 9, and you know it.
That's true.
That's when this brain checks
especially
in.
Especially Mondays.
Yeah.
When we're done at 8.
So, yeah. What the hell's that supposed to mean?
I'm just joking.
You're lucky I'm not smart enough to get the depth of that insult.
By the way,
the multi levels of that insult
we're
right
here,
now.
We're here till 10.
So I'm going to be pissed at 9.
I know.
When that comes up again in my brain.
I know.
No, so if it's a defensive letdown and maybe fueled by a couple of turnovers or something, like special teams turnovers, I think people will be more accepting of that because mostly, more than anything, people just want to see offensive output.
I agree. I think I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
In this scenario, the Texans have won.
They've won. They won.
Just double checking.
Close, high scoring game. Yes.
All right.
That's what they've done. All right. So watching yesterday, a few things. We're getting some texts. A lot of people got to watch football yesterday. A few people asking Seth, does the fact that Detroit blew out Jacksonville yesterday, Detroit beat Jacksonville 52-6.
Mm-hmm.
They killed the Jags. Now they're not the first team to kill the Jags this year and won't be the last, but this is a Detroit team. That the Texans, if C.J. Stroud, and I feel strongly about this, if C.J. Stroud completes a pass to a wide-open Tank Dell for a touchdown, we are talking about the Texans beating this very same Detroit team. Detroit is, you know, they're back to being lauded as the greatest thing since sliced bread again. They beat Jacksonville. Do you feel better about the Texans and the way they played against Detroit the week before because of what we saw again from Jared Goff in Detroit against Jacksonville? Or are you like me where you're like, ugh! What a missed opportunity that was.
I think I feel better if I step, from 5,000 feet, I'm still angry. From 35,000 feet, I feel like, okay, that was without Nico Collins and Will Anderson. It's funny because the defense is still performing well that I'm trying not to use Will Anderson as an excuse or anything. But you didn't have Will Anderson or Kamari Lassiter in the second half of that game. It's easy to play the what-if game, and those guys are in there and Nico Collins. But yesterday's game doesn't do it for me as much as when you look at the sum total of Jared Goff's last 8 games. It's just absurd how much worse he was in the Texans game than in any of the 7 other games.
Way outlier.
Like, not even close. Yeah. His lowest completion percentage of any of those games was 72%. He completed 50% versus the Texans. His lowest passer rating in any of those 7 games was 100.3%. Versus the Texans, he was 59.7. He threw five interceptions in that game.
That's more than he's had the rest of the year.
He threw one. In the last eight games, he's thrown one interception other than the five he threw to the Texans.
Yep.
So I had tweeted out just something about how, man, that's a good sign if you can just get the offense going. And some Lions fan got upset and said that basically they could never pull that off against Jared Goff in the O-line again. And I thought, well, all right. Penei Sewell just flat out got beat for the most pressures he's given up in a season. You know, Penei Sewell's a great player, but he had two really bad pass protection snaps in that game, but he allowed three pressures. And this is by a Texans defensive line that is a league leader in total pressures on the season. So that part, I think, plays, and that was without Will Anderson. So I think that part of it, no, this Texans defense has the potential to do some really good things versus really good offenses. They just need some help and support from the offense.
Yeah, and that plays into a question. 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Text message, how is it the Ravens caused Josh Allen and Jared Goff to have the worst games of the year, but they allow old man Rodgers and Zach Wilson last year to have their best games of the season?
Okay. Two things. One, that was a different defense last year, so I'm not worried about that.
But not the Rodgers one. They mentioned Rodgers, too, in this text.
No, I know. Yeah, so okay. Zach Wilson was – sorry, I should have – maybe I didn't say his name. The Zach Wilson one from last year, I'm not worried about.
Gotcha.
The Aaron Rodgers one from this year, the excuse I will make for them, honestly, is that Aaron Rodgers was doing the exact same things he'd been doing all season long. The two touchdowns, specifically the Garrett Wilson one, were both both Garrett Wilson
circus
ones.
Circus catches.
The circus catch, the shin catch was like a 5% probability of a catch there. The one to Garrett Wilson, I'll give Aaron Rodgers credit because it was a hell of a pitch and catch, and Petrie just wasn't in position to make the play. He was about a millimeter away. But that was a lot of what he'd been doing all year long. They were real low probability plays. So I'm not giving them a huge excuse for it. I look much more to the offense in that Jets game that just completely, just flat out did not show up.
Yeah.
The defense totally. Look, they allowed three straight scoring drives in the second half, but the offense did zero to help them out.
Yep.
So I'm not looking at this Texans defense as the same version of last year's defense.
Yep, I agree with that. Okay, is it a just some observations from watching football yesterday? Is it a hot take to say that I think the Texans could get into the type of game that the Steelers and Ravens played if they played one of them in the playoffs on the road, if it were in Baltimore or more likely in Pittsburgh, and they would hang in those games just fine with the defense that they've got? Like an 18-16 kind of game? Is this Texans team? Could you plunk? And I realize that the Texans were plunking all three sides of the football into that game,
No, my answer is no. You don't have. You can stop with all the hypotheticals. No, because they haven't shown that they can play competently on the road offensively. The offensive line especially. So you put them into that environment, no, they're not ready. Like, no. Not even close. Like, they've got to fix that part of it. So, maybe if we can see evidence of that against the Cowboys as bad as they are, they just, this offense is an issue right now. Like, it's been a mediocre at best offense. In the second half, they're just flat out awful. So, no, I don't think you're going to go up and beat any of those teams on the road without scoring touchdowns in the second half. With Nico Collins back, it might change. And that's the big question. And
now,
with the shuffling of the interior offensive line.
Keep in mind, the Steelers didn't score a touchdown in either half of that game yesterday.
Yeah.
They scored six field goals. So you think if the Texans get plunked down in a game like that, it's like the final score is like 19-6 or something like that.
Yeah, no. The Texans aren't beating that. Not right. Not the way they've been playing the last several weeks.
Yeah.
They were like, that's great. They didn't score any. So we're talking about this Texans offensive line versus that Steelers defense.
No, I get it.
In Pittsburgh, I don't feel good about it in any situation.
Interesting Lamar Jackson stat or tweet from Nick Wright, who is a look. He's a Mahomes guy, and so he doesn't like hearing when Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson get mixed into the Mahomes conversation, so we'll point that out. And Nick words it in a way that's classic Nick. As long as he's not playing the Chiefs, dynasty of this era, the Steelers, his team's hated rival, or in the playoffs, Lamar is as good as any quarterback ever. Unfortunately, in those spots, he's 4-12 with a 75 passer rating, and he's got more turnovers than touchdowns. He's simply bad in those situations.
You know, the other, okay, it's a little bit unfair because you could point to the Chiefs game last year. Like, Lamar Jackson made some incredible throws and some great, or some routine throws that were screwed up by Zay Flowers. And I mean, watching yesterday, Zay Flowers almost screwed it up again for him. They ended up scoring on the drive. But Zay Flowers dropped the gimme.
Literally hit him in the face.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's impossible to separate all of that. And you have the Tyreek Hill years, the Travis Kelce presence, all of that. I mean, that if Pat Mahomes were a free agent who had signed with the Chiefs right now, I mean, they have a winning record, obviously. I mean, they were undefeated, and then how would they be feeling about Pat Mahomes, the free agent signing?
Well, I mean, if Pat Mahomes, the free agent signing, with the body of work does he have the body of work that he'd had the previous six seasons? I think I would still feel okay about it because you're winning football games. Like, the fact of the matter is right now, like, Pat Mahomes is similar to what Russell Wilson's been since he's come back for the Steelers, you know, which is managing games, don't turn the ball over. Except Pat Mahomes does turn the ball over. Like, he's
that's
thrown
the biggest
a bunch
thing.
Of
he's been throwing. He's got 11 interceptions already. His career high was 24 or 14 last year. Yeah. Pat Mahomes usually does throw like nearly a dozen interceptions a year. It's just he makes up for it on the other side. But he's got 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions right now. Like, he's not making up for it on the other side. The biggest thing the Chiefs do really, really well is they're constantly in 3-3. And you almost throw the conventional stats out the window.
What do you mean they're constantly in 3-3?
They get to 3-3. Sorry, I should have. The offense gets to 3-3. So third and three.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Boy, this is Sean, you know, I was sick all weekend. So I've been, this is going to be a rough day.
That's okay.
This is a day where they just, Texans Radio decided they want to give us an extra couple hours because you know they need to rest.
Right.
They're always on. They're in third and three all the time.
Yeah.
It's almost like their second down is their third down. They just got to get to the third and three, and then you can do whatever you want. Yeah. And then they're good enough that they can sustain drives that way, and they end up winning the time of the possession, all of that. And it just, I was telling Brandy that yesterday on one of the drives, and lo and behold, it was like three straight series of downs in a row. They ended up being third and one or third and two or third and three. And they're just a complete functioning football team, even if they're not putting out offensively the way they usually do.
No, they're situationally, they're demons situationally, man. Yeah. Like, they're incredible. And getting themselves, to your point, getting themselves into situations where they don't have to, you know, Mahomes doesn't have to put on a cape a whole lot. CJ Stroud is in third and long all the time compared to other quarterbacks. So you're absolutely right. As far as that KC Buffalo game goes, and I'm watching it again through a Texans prism, this version of Buffalo, I'm glad we didn't catch them with Khalil Shakir or Amari Cooper. Those guys are difference makers for the Bills, both those guys. So we were probably lucky about that. Did you see the CBS studio crew breaking tables before the game?
Yeah, they were getting a lot of criticism for the tables being so clearly rigged that I got to give them credit. Dude, Bill Cowher is like 70. Yeah. What the hell? What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
How are you criticizing? J.J. Watt has had 29 surgeries on each major body part.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's had a sum total of 437 surgeries.
I thought Cowher had the second best one out of all of them. Nate Burleson's was the best one because Nate Burleson literally got hang time going onto that table. He didn't care.
Burleson got up there.
I thought Cowher, for a 70-plus-year-old guy, I thought it was a pretty good table break. I'm not going to...
And clearly, they didn't go in, like, be sure that the little bars were latched underneath to make it as hard as possible.
Right.
They were basically cardboard tables.
Breakable. I thought JJ's was the weakest of all of them. Like, he just
was
kinda,
it?
Yeah, he just
Which
kinda,
might mean that he's preserving himself.
To come back. Yeah, it's about that time of year. That's true. It's almost the Texans' bye week.
The first clip I saw, they didn't show, it was a cut up, and they didn't show JJ doing it. And I thought, oh, well, this is something. Maybe this really is something that he's not doing it because
he went first.
Okay.
Yeah, he went first out of everybody. So maybe they started that clip late. But he just kind of rolled over. He didn't jump onto it. He just kind of rolled over it like a bear. You know what I mean?
He's not. Sean, you got to understand how how much different it is being a big person falling down onto the earth.
I get it, but he's doing Peloton commercials now, you know? Like, he's doing
things. What part of a Peloton workout are you under the impression involves full body contact
with
furniture?
I'm saying that he did not look very athletic doing it, is all. If I were the
He just didn't look impressive
athletically. He didn't look impressive. That's my point. Just like a bear rolling over the table. He didn't, got zero hang time. Peloton is something that it is implied that there's some degree of cardio and athleticism involved in, you know?
No. Nah, I know.
Yeah, you watch the JJ commercials?
It's like, hard. Yeah. It's hard cardiovascularly.
Right, and JJ,
but it's not something
like
that I think has anything at all.
He looked like a fat buffalo in Rolling Over the Table.
Feeling like his VO2 max wasn't high enough to do a 3-second stunt. It's like
that?
A measure of your cardiovascular fitness.
He didn't roll over that table like a very fit individual. That's all. If I were Peloton, I would have liked to have seen him look a little more athletic. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying Peloton, he does the Peloton and he's getting ready to go do the decathlon in the Olympics or something like that. But it is
like
a commercial that implies that you're a really good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
For him. Not me. It's not me on the Peloton commercial. That would not imply that a very good
athlete. Do we have Mike Tyson in the acknowledge me?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Okay, I'll wait on my Mike Tyson discussion.
Okay, yeah, Mike made it. He made it through a fight at age 58. He's getting acknowledged.
He showed us his butt cheeks.
He did. That's getting acknowledged for sure. All right, save it for acknowledge. 7:24. Let's do the acknowledgments here. Let's do it now. We'll get to Seth's poll in the next segment. We didn't get to that there. We'll get to Seth's poll in the next segment, but we got to get to the acknowledgments. I'm going to start. You know what? Let's start with Mike Tyson since we're talking about it right now. Mike Tyson, we acknowledge. 60 million viewers for this fight. The fight itself, I would say two things disappointed. One, no real spectacles in the fight. It went the distance. It was two guys boxing. One was 58 years old. One's a YouTuber.
It looked like, I would say a lot of, I think maybe the later rounds, it kind of felt like two guys trying to go the distance. One guy not trying to brain an old man who might fight his brother for another $20 million at some point.
Seemed to be implied,
Yeah.
That there may have been some chicanery. But look, man, Mike's 58 years old. He made it. Oh, the other story, glitchy as hell. We're not acknowledging Netflix.
Right. Buffering.
Yeah, buffering.
It was buffering all over the place. It was unwatchable. Literally, because you couldn't get it to actually stream.
Yep.
Some people were... I got this question a lot, so I'll answer it. Somebody had asked, like, well, could it be 65 million partly because people had to keep logging in? As I understand it, no. Just because, like, the way they calculate the ratings, it's based on, like, how many total people are watching at peak times and all that. So it's not... No. But it's not inconceivable there are 65 million people worldwide. But I can't... It is kind of... It's really surprising that Netflix wasn't ready for it.
Not very surprised. And you know what? I'm going to save, because we're going to acknowledge me. I want to save... I mean, there's a Texans topic to come out of this Netflix coverage. It's an obvious one. We'll get to that one in just a little bit as well. But good job, Mike Tyson. Good job, Mike Tyson, showing off your butt cheeks in the locker room afterwards, just walking away in what looked like chaps.
Was that afterwards or beforehand?
It was. I don't know. That's a good question.
I assumed it was afterwards, and I thought I saw a caption saying it was a beforehand.
Either way,
whatever.
Mike Tyson's butt cheeks showed up on Netflix.
And it looked, as you and many others pointed out, it felt like, it's like I'm in the gym, and that's the old guy that doesn't mind being just buck naked around everybody.
Just has the
that's the way they did it at the YMCA back in the day.
Has the blow dryer out, like with one leg up on the counter, blow drying their grundle down there, and with the community blow dryer. Yeah,
that's the part I always get a little weird. Like in the steam room, I don't the people that are totally comfortable with being just buck naked without the towel over them or anything in the steam room. I'm not comfortable with it still.
Not at all. All right, let's do some more acknowledgments here. Travis Hunter.
Acknowledge me.
Travis Hunter is the prohibitive favorite. Now, Travis Hunter, two-way player for Colorado, wide receiver and cornerback. I asked John Harris this weekend. I texted Johnny during the Colorado game. I said, what does Travis Hunter play at the next level? What position? Cornerback or wide receiver? And he answers yes. We'll talk to Johnny in the 9 o'clock hour today. Travis Hunter is minus 400 to win the Heisman Trophy. Here was Deion Sanders after the game on Saturday. Colorado, by the way, now 8-2, still control their own destiny for the postseason. They're 33-1 to win the championship right now. So they're starting to work their way into that conversation of the 10 or 15 teams that could win this thing. And this is as even a year as we've seen. I mean, Oregon's the number one team unanimously. They almost lost to Wisconsin on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, it is parody like crazy in college football. Here was Deion after the game on Travis Hunter and the media.
Off your report, Travis had a tremendous day. He had an interception, a touchdown, and then one of the crazier catches you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
What would your message be to Heisman voters who are undecided?
I ain't gonna get no message on Heisman voters is undecided. If they can't see, they can't see. It is what it is. I mean, Travis is who he is. It's supposed to go to the best college football player. I think that's been a wrap since, what, week two? So we ain't petitioning for nobody. We ain't doing that. We got a wonderful display of cameras here, and I think we're on national television every week. If they can't see it, there's a problem. Don't allow their hatred for me to interfere with our kids' success. They got to stop that. Y'all got to stop some of y'all like that. Y'all got to stop that, man. Give the kids what they deserve, man. I don't have my turn. You had, I played 14 years. You had 14 years to hate me. Now let it go.
Okay, now here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. And I've been as critical of Deion Sanders as anybody's been in the media, save maybe a columnist in Denver who's banned from asking questions of Deion. There's been no criticism of Colorado over the last month and a half. Deion, if anything, Colorado has been an under.
They've been under-discussed.
Yeah.
I think part of it is the schedule they've played that people were kind of waiting to see. Okay, what happens
maybe
with time or when the rubber really meets the road? And they haven't, they don't have that signature moment. But, I will back Deion up on this a little bit. Yeah. There are 870 media voters and 57 previous Heisman winners who are eligible to vote.
Yeah.
I think it's fair that amongst those 870 media members, there's at least a few grumpy old crouches that either just hate Deion Sanders or don't like the way he operates or whatever, that would, mind you, go through your brain and think of various media members you've known throughout the years, especially the crotchety old ones.
Right, right, right.
That would let it affect their opinion of Travis Hunter.
Here's the thing. If anything, Deion doing what he did in that press conference makes them more likely to vote against Travis Hunter. You know what I mean? The type of media member he's appealing to there gets emboldened in their opinion by Deion doing that, unprompted, by the way. Like, that question wasn't about him. It was about
There's some guy out there with a cigar saying, there goes Deion making it about himself again.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let him get the satisfaction.
Exactly what they're
doing. Non-unanimous vote for Heisman.
Up to and including the two-finger cigar thing you're doing in front of your mouth right now. Yes. Yes, they are doing that right now. All right, let's
keep... It hurts my voice to be an old man.
Dude, it does.
Ow.
Try doing a Chris Berman.
I don't know how I'm
going to
do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because especially, I plan on being a pretty bellicose old man.
Bellicose.
You're going to know about my opinions.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, let's... real quick one. The football viewing gods, I want to acknowledge.
Acknowledge
real quick,
me!
Within 15 minutes on Saturday, sitting there, we got Brian Kelly losing to Florida. We got Bill O'Brien losing to SMU. And we got cornball cosplay Mahomes kid, Rayola, the quarterback of Nebraska, the one that whose entire career is Mahomes cosplay.
Yeah.
They all lost, and we're all exasperated in the process within 15 minutes of each other on Sunday. That's all, or on Saturday. That's all. I just want to thank the football gods for giving me that adrenaline rush for 15 minutes of all those people losing.
I didn't see. Was there a Brian Kelly press conference meltdown? Did he pound the table?
No meltdown. He is very forlorn right now.
I say meltdown, like in the most Shakespearean of ways. He didn't have a fake meltdown in the press conference.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, no, it wasn't a thespian felt meltdown. No, he didn't. He was very very matter of fact. I mean, I guess when you're still getting guaranteed your $100 million, it makes you matter of fact. So I just want to thank the football gods for that. Alperen Şengün.
Acknowledge
Seth,
me.
Let's acknowledge his two straight triple doubles. Only the second player under the age of 22 to get back-to-back triple doubles in a game. Nikola Jokic is the other one.
Yeah, this is fun,
it's
man.
It's a fun Rockets
this
team,
is,
baby.
This is really a lot of fun. This has got the potential to be a great holiday season. Fervor, I think, will build for the Rockets probably much faster and more aggressively than they did when they were bona fide championship contenders, like already established championship contenders. Because we went through a period, let's be honest, 10 years of like, all right, great, let's see what happens when they go, right, yep, that's cool, yep, I got it. Let's see what happens when they see the Warriors or the Spurs or what have you. Where this is fresh and new and completely different, and it feels like it's ahead of schedule. That, yeah, it's going to be a fun holiday season between the Rockets and then with hopefully, as long as the Texans, hopefully, look like competitive, competitive team look going like into the Kansas City and Baltimore games.
Yes. The very least we get Beyonce. Let's acknowledge Beyonce, too.
Acknowledge.
She's going to play halftime of the Texans game on Christmas Day. Pac-Man Jones.
Acknowledge me.
It wasn't just a fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul in Arlington on Saturday night. Pac-Man Jones with a nice, I think like a nice homage to Mike Tyson. You know, old guy kind of recapturing the magic. Pac-Man Jones arrested after the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
Pac-Man, oh, was he for the stream?
He was. No.
Never mind. No, you know what? I forgot. It was Adam. It was Antonio Brown.
Okay. No. Jones was legit arrested for one count of assault on a police officer. One count of public intoxication.
Oh dear.
One count of evading arrest. And one count of resisting arrest. He got into a fight at the bar at the Lowe's Hotel, about a half mile from the stadium. And according to a report, Arlington police showed up. They were told about the fight. Officer went to the scene where Jones and others had been separated, and he allegedly, quote, continued approaching and yelling at the others involved, Pac-Man Jones did, and the officer stepped in and tried to explain to him, hey, man, this thing's been quelled down now, no fighting, and Pac-Man Jones decided to hit the officer on her arm. She attempted to put him in cuffs. He got free and just started walking away. So
I would, if I were the cop, I would hope he would run, because that's one that you're not going to be ashamed of. You're like, oh, he ran. I couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
I would run until I knew I was out of sight of the cameras and be like, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's like, what am I going to do? Catch Pac-Man Jones?
Pac-Man Jones.
I don't care if he's old. Yeah, I just watched old man Tyson look older.
Former cowboy Pac-Man Jones. So we acknowledge Pac-Man Jones for kind of like a lot like Mike Tyson, man, reaching back into those younger years and putting together a performance. Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man Jones, to my knowledge, had not been arrested in quite some time.
Is Pac-Man on with Pat McAfee?
He has been. I don't know that that's something that's a regular thing, but he had been on it. He dipped his toe in the water with it. He's got a podcast, I guess. I don't know what the over-under is on that thing lasting.
This doesn't sound like anything that's going to be, you know. I mean, he's got priors, but, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't think it's anything. I don't think he's going away or anything like that. Yeah. John Gruden.
Acknowledge me.
Taking his talents to Barstool. John Gruden, who's been, he'd been making a lot of videos on Twitter lately, breaking down things. And I guess that was enough for Dave Portnoy and the crew at Barstool to say, we want Gruden on board. I think Gruden's a perfect fit over at Barstool if they've got him doing the right stuff. Here's Gruden, his first day on the job. They had a lot of video clips of him just sitting around chopping up ball with the fellas and whatnot.
Yeah.
Gruden, not a big fan of the analytics nerds.
That's where the analytical guy goes, hey, Coach Gruden, go for it right here. Go for it. I'm like, okay. We go for it. We get stuffed. And I go, hey, you up there, you idiot. You know what I mean? Aggressive. It's 12-10, man. We get the field goal.
There are many, many more clips like that you can watch if you like on Barstool's
Twitter feed. You know, the funny thing about that is that it's that's old school coach versus new age coach, where the old school coaches did they had to. Like, they had to like understand and value the analytics, but they never really wanted to embrace it. The new age guys, like, they might butt heads with the analytics guys, but I think the good organizations have analytics guys who also understand that not everything's quantifiable.
Yeah.
So, like, football, more so than any other sport, there's just so many variables and so many things that matter. The injuries and the weather affect everything so much that, like, that's not the way that I think a lot of the younger coaches would have treated their analytics staff.
No.
The younger coaches are like, this is the advice from the analytics guy. I can take it or leave it.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, I'm not, because you know what, Gruden? You did what he advised you to do, and now you're blaming him. That's your issue. And that's why you're working for Barstool instead of an NFL team.
It's just so funny. Like, it's the classic thing. Like, play the very beginning of that again, Byron, real quick. Yeah. Like, him using the nerd voice is just like,
that's for the analytical guy. Go for it right here. Go for it. I'm like, okay.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah, but there's the other thing. Now I'm going to stick up for nerds here, too.
Yeah.
So the analytical nerd is up there, and in their brains, you know, the way they work, they're completely detached from like reality. It's like, okay, there's a 55% chance that you get a better chance of winning if you go for it and make it versus if you don't. It's like, yeah, in any game, it's basically a coin flip. And you're doing stuff that adds up over time. Like the baseball analytics people will talk about doing this will get you an extra, win a third of an inning a year, you know, or get you an extra victory every 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, you're not measuring it in the moment.
I would love to hear you
and that's
explain.
Why he's going
to. I would love to hear you explain that to Gruden.
I'm the only person who will give you a meat-headed, the passion of a meathead, but with a barely minimal understanding of analytics, but in defensive analytics.
The tip of the hat to the math, yes.
I despise a lot of the people who write about analytics because they're not people who work in sports analytics. The people who work in sports analytics are vastly more reasonable and rational and intelligent than most of the people who write
and
about
most
it.
Most of them don't sound like Gruden right there. Hey, coach,
yeah.
Hey, kick a field goal right there. Some of them do, but not all of them. That was a stereotype by Gruden. All right. Hey, quick reminder. Tomorrow is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You want to be front row, bullpen for the game against the Titans on Sunday? I know we still got tonight's game, but we got a Texans Ticket Tuesday tomorrow to get you to the Titans game. Be listening in the 9 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour for your chance to win tomorrow. Up next, the biggest takeaway from the Netflix Tyson Paul fight over the weekend that impacts you as a Houston Texans fan. That is next.
Yes.
Hey, one bit of NFL news. Daniel Jones benched. So there you go. Giants got to Daniel Jones
no,
benched.
No, not Danny.
We get Tommy DeVito back in our
Danny
lives.
Danny Dimes?
Yeah, Danny Dimes benched.
What happened? Why don't they call him Danny Dimes anymore,
I guess
Sean?
He's not throwing dimes anymore. He's just throwing. He's not. I don't know. I do know. But he's benched.
He's the guy who finally turned the dime authoritatively into a useless piece of currency.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, brother, can you spare a dime? Doesn't do a damn thing. You can only buy so much meth.
If you wonder
and
why,
likewise, yeah, Daniel Jones could barely buy you meth right now. No respectable drug dealer would work with him.
Nope. If you're wondering why people keep saying, brother, can you spare a quarter? It's not because of inflation. It's because of Danny Dimes. That's why. Biggest takeaway from the Tyson-Paul fight, we just got done acknowledging Mike Tyson, so we do acknowledge that there was a fight going on, but I would say easily the biggest thing that was being discussed both during and after the event, Seth, was the glitchy nature of the technical side of the broadcast. And look, as Texan fans, should we be concerned? The Texans game is on Netflix on Christmas now. It will be on local TV as well. I don't know which channel. Yeah. The Amazon game was on Fox 26. I don't know. I'm sure I'll get a text from somebody who would be in the know that'll tell me what station it's going to be. It's a month away, so who really cares right now? So locally, if you live in Houston, you don't need to worry about the Netflix stuff. But this is what I would say is, A, there's a lot of fans who don't live in Houston. And B, it is a day on the calendar where a lot of fans who do live in Houston wouldn't normally be in Houston. They might be relatives watching the game. I put up a poll real quick before I get your thoughts on this, Seth. I put up a poll just to ask people after the fight, like, if you're a Texan fan, are you concerned about the buffering and everything else? Like, this was a bad look for Netflix for a foray into a massive sporting event. 77% concerned right now about Netflix inability to handle the load right now.
Okay, here's the thing. So that was 65 million or so viewers internationally. I don't know if that matters at all or not. But the Christmas games last year, there were three games. They all had between 27 and 29 million viewers. So any one individual stream had about 27 to 20. Well, that's how many viewers there were overall.
Yeah.
So because they're broadcast locally, these Texans games are probably not going to be nearly 30 million, the Texans-Ravens game, so because most people locally would be watching on their stations.
Yeah.
So I'm not overly concerned about it,
yeah.
I think. And because it's also, it's a more conventional sporting event that they've got some experience. I'm not as worried about it, but maybe I'm naive.
They are, as far as, I mean, not to get too down a rabbit hole with this, but they are outsourcing all of the production of the event.
Yeah.
You know, I believe it's CBS that's producing it. The announcers are Noah Eagle, and there's, I forget who's doing color for the Texans. Like, everybody handling the actual execution of the broadcast itself are professionals who do this on a weekly basis. I guess the concern would just be, get more routers. I don't know. Like you, I mean, that thing may have been broadcast perfectly for all we know from X's and O's. And aside from hiring Rosie Perez to be part of the broadcast team, I don't get that, but whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're like in some kind of deep battle with Amazon Web Services or something. And this was an AWS v Netflix thing or something. I don't
Rosie.
Know. I'm deep in conspiracy. Oh, no. As far as the streaming issues. I'm deep in conspiracy mode with just. I've taken my cue from the Zoomers.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing you can tell me that I'm not
the
convinced there's
thing
a
to
deep
do.
Conspiracy behind,
yeah,
Sean.
It's a healthy thing to do. Hey, the other poll that was put up by this show over the weekend came from Seth. And it was, this kind of plays off of what we were talking about in the 7 o'clock segment about watching we got to scout all these other teams, the Texans. Two of them, the Texans are going to see within the next month or so. But any of these four teams, they could see in the playoffs. They could see multiple of these teams in the playoffs, actually. KC, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Those are the four teams, I think, that if the Texans were to go on the road and play in a divisional round game, then it likely comes from those four teams. Which one would you least want to go on the road to play? And you asked that question, and the winner was overwhelming in this one. Did it surprise you that the Chiefs won in such resounding fashion? And did you vote for the Chiefs in your own poll? 48%, nearly half the people voted for the Chiefs in this poll.
It did surprise me, given that I tweeted it out during the Bills game. So I thought that might have some effect on it.
And
at that point, the Chiefs weren't looking so hot in Buffalo. I think the fact that there's a PTSD from various Chiefs losses, not just to the Texans, but watching them eviscerate other people at home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. It's just Chiefs playoffs. There's the personal memory of it. But then also, I think the Chiefs defense is just so good. And the Chiefs defense at home is impressive. The Ravens defense isn't as good as it usually is. The Bills defense is very impressive, but also they're very opportunistic, and a lot of it's fueled by that. I just feel like the Chiefs is still, despite the fact that Mahomes is nowhere near his peak self, he wasn't last year either. So ultimately, I voted for the Chiefs, if I remember correctly. I have no records of it, Sean.
I voted for the... I voted for the Ravens, and here's why.
Is the one you least?
Is the one
face
I least? Yeah, yep. I least want to
okay.
go play the Ravens, and maybe some of that for me is they actually played the Ravens on the road last year twice, including the playoffs, and I have memories of that. I just feel like all four are going to be impossible places to go play. You know what I mean? And I don't mean impossible. The Texans can't win. I mean it in that adjective of like these are going to be all four. All four are going to be just really hard places to go play. We're picking nits if we're saying one is harder than the other. These are four grade A road cold weather venues. And so then I look at just the beatability of the team. They've beaten the Bills once already. I think they can beat any of these teams. Now the offense needs to get it in gear, as you pointed out earlier. But the Bills and the Steelers, they've beaten the Bills. The Steelers with Russell Wilson don't scare me as much. This version of the Chiefs doesn't scare me as much with this, and I know they flip a switch in the postseason. This Ravens team is a bad matchup for the Texans, the way they bust you in the mouth running the football. And I don't know that the Texans are good enough offensively to take advantage of the deficiencies that the Ravens have on defense right now. You know, I mean, the interior of that Ravens defensive line is one of their strengths.
We can talk about this later, but just some of the stuff from watching film this weekend, some of the things that I'm still concerned about with the Texans' interior line.
Yeah.
The one thing too, Sean, real quick to tidy up the Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
I hate so many things about the way things operate right now. Okay, so I went to a Fox website, Fox 26 locally, but they're just printing what the Fox TV digital team does. I wanted to find out what Netflix's explanation was. So the headline is, Netflix responds to streaming issues during the Tyson Paul fight. I go down, I find the heading, it's got a few different paragraphs. The one with the heading, Netflix responds. This is what it says.
Yeah.
Netflix had, quote, nothing to comment on at this time, unquote.
So they know.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. What the hell?
They know.
This is what I clicked on.
They no commented with great ferocity.
That's how Netflix, yeah, the headline is like, Netflix responds with a no comment.
All right. Hey, up next, we'll talk to Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans. Seth and I are sticking with you this Monday till 10 a.m. Vandy will join us. We'll get his thoughts. He's up in Arlington getting ready for the game tonight between the Texans and the Cowboys. We'll get his thoughts on that, this rivalry, everything else. The voice of the Texans joins us here next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.